Matthew chapter number 28, and we'll be reading in that particular passage tonight. Matthew chapter number 28, and this is the chapter that we normally have as the Great Commission of the church. And we're not going to be speaking on the commission, but a little phrase that's there in that passage of Scripture. Before we go there, I want to read, and you do not have to turn there, and unless you just want to, into Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 5. Hebrews says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." What a great statement that is, that our conduct or our conversation ought to be without coveting what everybody else has, live the life that God gives to us. And then says, "Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And so we can be content with what God gives us because he has promised to be with us. "I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee." And so that's primarily the thought tonight that I want us to have, that we will, that we can be content with what God has for us because we know that he'll always be there with us. And so turn now, as you have already turned, to Matthew chapter 28. Of course, if we read the whole chapter, we would find this is the chapter that reveals the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that the response of the Lord having resurrection. And he calls his disciples together in verse number 16. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away unto Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." So the Lord has told his disciples where to go and that he is going to be with them. It says, "And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Now that's strange words here, the disciples. It tells us here that it's the 11. Judas, of course, has betrayed the Lord. He's already gone out and committed suicide. He had hanged himself. And so now the 11 are told of the Lord, go to a specific place. And when he appears to them, some of them, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. And these are the disciples that had followed the Lord all those many days and all the disciples that had heard and they had seen the miracles of the Lord, and still there was doubtings and fears in their mind. The Bible tells us that the Lord told them to fear not, but yet the doubting is there, the fear is there, and now the Lord begins to give unto them, he speaks to them, what we call the Great Commission. Jesus says in verse number 18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." Notice there it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Notice the last statement here of the commission, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." The end of the age, the end of the world as we know it. Jesus says, "I will be with you." And he's talking here to the disciples, which really he was talking to his church. We believe that Jesus established his church while he was here physically and in his ministry. He called his apostles together and then multitudes followed after him. On the day of Pentecost, thousands were saved and baptized and their church is thrust into the world to preach the gospel. And here he tells them to go into all the world preaching the gospel. He tells them to go, not only that, but the power is given unto them that they can do that. And as they teach, and that is, that word teach there is evangelize, as they tell people about the work of the ministry, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, you go teach them and then you baptize them. The first step of obedience is baptism, following the Lord in scriptural believers' baptism. And then he says, gives us the plan and the pattern how to do that in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then you teach those that have been evangelized He says here again, teaching them, that's discipleship. And that's why Brother Leo there in Canada is very worried about. There are folks that are newly born again Christians, and now they're not getting the teaching because of the inability to cross the border that has been placed upon them by the governments. But the commission here says that after they get saved, we are to teach them. And then he gives us the promise, lo, I am with you always. All the way to the end of the world, all the way to the end of the age. Thank God tonight, Jesus is with us. And so I want us to think tonight about he will never leave us nor forsake us. What a wonderful thought that is that he is always there. Doesn't matter where we find ourselves, doesn't matter what position, what place we find ourselves in, the Lord says, I'm there with you. And of course, we know he's there with us in the presence of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that lives in our heart. And if you study the entire scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, you'll find that the Lord has always promised to be with his people. He has always promised to be there as a help, and he's promised to be there as a guide and to give direction and to give encouragement. And even as Moses left out taking the children, delivering them out of the Egyptian bondage, he was promised of the Lord that he would be there with them. Back in the book of Exodus, chapter number 33 and verse number 12, the scripture says, And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said that I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Notice verse number 14. And he said, speaking of the Lord, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. The Lord God of heaven even told Moses. Moses said, You've told me to guide these people out or to bring them out of the Egyptian bondage. You haven't told me who's going with me. And come down to the settled fact, it didn't matter who was going with him to be a helper and to be a guide with him. God says, I'm with you. And I'll tell you tonight, if God's with us, we don't need anybody else. God is the predominant factor in the lives of his people. And he told us in the Old Testament, tells us in the New Testament that he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's always there for us. And praise God tonight, it doesn't matter what's going on in our world, in our country, in our community, God's with his people. And we have the presence, we have the knowledge tonight, and we can enjoy the fact that we're not alone in these days in which we live. Thank the Lord he's there for us and he's there with us. Now the Lord manifested his presence in the Old Testament in two primary different ways. He used the cloud, the cloud that during the day would guide the people or lead the people of Israel as they went through the wilderness, or as the pillar of fire by night, and that was the presence of the Lord, that they knew he was there, and they knew that he was doing the guiding, and that they could follow what God had given to them. And he also uses the Ark of the Covenant. So those are two ways that the Lord manifested his presence in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, he manifests his presence by the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Thank God tonight we have the Holy Spirit that lives in our heart. Our heart, our life is overshadowed and overtaken by the presence of the Lord Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit and God in Christ. God in the person of the Holy Ghost guides and directs us. And he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And what a wonderful thought that is, that we're not alone. You know, sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we can even be alone and be in a crowd of people and feel alone. But I'm glad as a Christian, as a believer, I have the Spirit of God that's there to encourage us. The struggles that come and the problems that come to life. And so he is there for us. So the Old Testament tells us, God says, I'll guide you, I'll direct you, I'll give you the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. I'll give you the covenant, and they had all the rules and regulations around that covenant of the Lord that showed his presence. When they would go into the tabernacle, the glory of God would come down, and it was there at that mercy seat, and in the temple that Solomon built, the same glory came down and showed his presence and with them. And I believe on the day of Pentecost, that same presence came down upon the church of the Lord and showed his presence, his power, his leadership. And thank God tonight, as a believer, we have someone that we can depend upon and that we can rejoice in, that he'll never lead us the wrong way. He says that I will never forsake thee. I will never leave thee. And what a blessed promise that is for the believer tonight. So I want us to think just for a few minutes upon his presence. What a wonderful thing it is to know the presence of the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to know that we are going to heaven when this life is over. And our life may not end, but as a believer, we're going to heaven, as we spoke of this morning about the rapture or the him gathering us to him. And what a wonderful, joyous day that will be as a Christian. But you and I tonight, we have the presence of the Lord. We have that person of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Jesus gives us instruction in the commission. He said, I'll never there in Hebrews, I'll never leave thee. And then he tells us there in the Great Commission, he said, Lo, I'm with you all the way even to the end of the world, the end of this age. As long as time as we know it continues on, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has promised that he'll be with us until he takes us home, and then we'll be with him. What a wonderful thought that is as a Christian. So his presence tonight brings and gives to us instruction. His presence in the cloud led them the way to go. There in the book of Exodus and Numbers, he led them through the wilderness. And it wasn't an easy trip. It wasn't an easy road. But his presence was there to give them instruction which way to go, which way to turn. He led them in ways that they would not have to suffer all the struggles of the wilderness as they wandered there in those many years. They wouldn't have had to wander that long if they'd just believed God. They wouldn't have had to have that struggle in life if they'd just trusted the Lord. But when they got to the place called Kadesh Barnea, the spies went over to spy out the land. And they saw that it was a land that flowed with milk and honey, just like God had told them it was. And not only did God tell them that it was a land of bounty, but God says, I'm going to give you the land. You can possess the land. And so when they got there, they found out everything that God had said about the promised land was exactly what he said. It was true. But they backed up on the part that said, God says, I'll give it to you. It's yours. So they went and spied out the land. You know the story. Those 12 spies, one from every tribe, they went and spied out the land. And 10 of them came back and said, we cannot do it. Well, God's already told them they can. He's already given them instruction that they can. Only Caleb and Joshua come back and said, we can do it. And, of course, Joshua and Caleb's only two of that crowd that made it into the promised land, because the rest of them died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. That age of certain age and up, they died there in the wilderness. They wandered 40 years, and God, even in that wandering in the wilderness, God was instructing them and telling them and showing them which way to go, where to turn, what to do. And his presence will bring us instructions. I'm glad tonight the Holy Spirit gives us instructions on certain things of life. His presence was there not only in the cloud, but his presence was there in the ark as they journeyed. And they knew that he was there. His presence in the New Testament was revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ to lead his people. And his presence was revealed in the Lord as he directed his disciples. And even there, as we read in Matthew, some of them even doubted. They had fears. And of course, the Lord had just died. The Lord had just been crucified. And they've gone through the 3 days and the 3 nights of fear and wondering. Many of them, of those 11 original disciples, they had fear in their heart and had doubt in their soul. But the Lord appeared to them and he said, fear not. Thank God tonight we don't have to fear what the world throws at us and brings to us. And so his presence was revealed and his presence was there in Jesus Christ. And now in our day and age, the presence of the Lord is in that Holy Spirit that we dealt with just a moment ago. So his presence gives us instruction. Does the Holy Ghost speak to us in an audible voice? No. But he leads us to the Word of God that gives us instruction. He leads us to the paths of righteousness, and it's for his name's sake, not ours. It's for his good, not our good. And he gives us instruction in ways of life that can be used and be very productive in the life of a child of God. And so he says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Thank God, Jesus never will leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's always there. Not only does he give instruction, but number two, he gives us comfort. He is that comforting one that comes to us. I believe that cloud by day comforted those Jews that were traveling in the wilderness. They were comforted in that they knew where they were going. They were following the direction that God was leading them in. I believe the pillar of fire by night, as they walked in the night shadows, and before they would pitch their tent, before they would stop for the night. Sometimes I doubt they stopped for the night. They were continuing on. And that pillar of fire that led them by night gave them comfort because they knew God was before them. They knew that the Lord was there with them. I believe the Ark of the Covenant gave them comfort, for they knew the presence of the Lord had come there to meet with them. You and I tonight, we can read in the New Testament how Jesus Christ gave comfort to those around him. He told Mary and Martha about the comfort. He told Martha about the resurrection. He gave the resurrection to Lazarus, and that comforted them. There are those that could not see, and all of a sudden they had sight. There are those that could not walk, and Jesus said, I take up your bed and walk. The crowd around them didn't understand that. The crowd around them couldn't explain that. And they tried. Some of them tried to explain it away. But what a comforting thought it was to those that experienced the miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that woman at the well? When she heard him say, if you take of this water, you'll never thirst again. You take of the water of this well, you're going to be thirsty later on. You're going to be thirsty tomorrow. You'll have to come back and get it again. But he said, if you take my water, if you take the water of everlasting life, he said, you'll never, never thirst again. What a comfort it is tonight that we don't have to thirst anymore. We have the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. So he gives instruction and he gives to us comfort. I believe those comforted the disciples in the storm. He was in the hull of the ship and the ship was tossed to and fro. They come down and say, Master, carest thou that we perish? He was there resting. He knew they wasn't going to perish, but they didn't. And he talks about their lack of faith, and he goes up, and he just, peace be still, and the sea became as a mirrored glass. Think that brought comfort to the disciples that were fearful? I think so. I think he brings comfort to the lost individual that knows without God he's going to hell. And when he comes to know the Lord, he has comfort in his heart. He has comfort in his soul, knowing that I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to go to the place prepared for the devil and his angels. I don't have to experience that place called hell. Jesus, when he talked to the rich man that was in hell, the rich man said, would you send Lazarus? They dip his finger in water, they cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. The statement Jesus made unto that man that has already gone to Hades, he said, he is comforted. He told the rich man, said, in your life you were comforted. You had all the good things, but now Lazarus, he's the one that is comforted. I'm glad, thank God, one day I received the Lord, and I've been comforted by him ever since. The struggles of life, the troubles that come, And so whether it was Mary and Martha, or whether it was a widow of Nain, or whether it was a man that could not walk, or whether it was the man that could not see, whatever, whoever it was, in whatever situation, the woman at the well, or wherever it was, Jesus brought comfort to everybody he came in contact with. And that's why I said a moment ago, that's a very strange verse here, when he says, and some of his disciples doubted. How strange that is. They doubted. They had seen. They had been with the Lord. They had experienced the miracles. They had witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. They had witnessed the raising of the dead. They had witnessed all the miracles that Jesus did. And yet, Jesus tells them, and as he begins his ministry, he tells them, I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to have to die. And they never really came to a real understanding of that until after the resurrection, and even then some of them doubted. When Jesus told his disciples, men are going to take me and the men are going to destroy and kill my body, Peter rose up and said, they'll not do that, not as long as I'm here. You know the words that Jesus had for Peter? He said, get behind me, Satan. You see, that was the will of God for the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he had to go through, that you and I could have eternal life. And Peter in his flesh said, not on my watch. Peter literally saying, they're not going to do it as long as I'm around. And Jesus said, Peter, you just don't understand. Get behind me. And as days go on, the Lord begins to instruct and begins to give them comfort. And I doubt very seriously that Peter was one of those here that doubted. Maybe some of those other disciples that were not as close in that inner circle as Peter, James, and John. Maybe there's on the fringe area of some things that was going on. Now, they doubted, but the Lord convinced them that he was going to be with them to the end of the world, the end of the age. We know our age is coming to an end, our time frame that is called the age of grace. We know sometime it's going to come to an end. And Jesus told his disciples here, he said, I'll be with you until the end of this age, the end of your world as you know it, I'll be with you. Thank God we're still in that age, and it's a lot of struggles in our day, a lot of problems in our day. But guess what? He's still with us. His presence is still there to instruct us, to give us comfort, and then number four, to give us worship. Turn back, if you would, with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 33, once again. And we'll look at verse number 9 and verse number 10. Verse number 9, it says, and it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Here's God talking with Moses out of the cloud. He's there at the tabernacle, that tent that was put up and taken down as they moved. And in that tabernacle, everything pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Moses goes to the place of the entrance of the tabernacle, and the cloud comes. And the Bible says here that God talked with him. And verse number 10 says, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up, and notice what it says, and worshiped. When they saw and heard and knew that God was speaking to Moses, their leader, the Bible says they worshiped every man in his tent door. Every man, every little tent that was set up around the tabernacle, The scripture gives us so many tribes on the east, so many on the west, so many on the north, so many on the south. And every one of those saw that cloud come down, and Moses there at the tabernacle door, and God speaks with him. And the Bible says they, in their tent, they worshiped the Lord. The presence of God brings about an attitude of worship and joy. It brings about an attitude of, I'm in the presence of God. I'm in the presence of the Lord. And in this cloud that God has put before them, He speaks to Moses, and the result of that is that they worshiped the Lord. And by the way, worship tonight means just simply, he is worthy. Worship, as our world knows it, is far different than worship of the New Testament. It's far different than the worship of the Old Testament. When men and women of the Bible worship God, they usually fell on their knees before the Lord. They usually would not look up even to God. They were so humbled at the presence of God, they would bow their head and bow their body, and they worshiped God because he was worthy of all those things. He was worthy of all the joy that had been in their heart. He was worthy to give back, and he was worthy for us to speak to him and to honor him and to worship him with spirit and in truth of service of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the presence of God does. I've been in services, you've been in services, you that are listening, and I've been in services sometime that you just knew the Lord was there. The presence of God was so real. And I'll tell you what, it brings about an attitude of humbling our heart before the Lord. To humble ourselves. We are nothing. We have nothing to offer to him. It's all because of what he has done for us. And so tonight, when the Lord says, I'll be with you to the end of the world or the end of the age, he says, I'm going to, while you're going on your route, while you're getting to the end, I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to give you some instruction. While you're going your path, I'm going to comfort you along the way, and I'm going to bring you joy so you can worship me. Praise the Lord tonight. The presence of the Lord is very important to the child of God. And then lastly, his presence brings power. All power is given me heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. To give forth the gospel, his presence manifested within the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the power, literally, physically, upon this earth. Jesus had the power to cast out the demons or the devils. He had the power to tell that man of Gadara, we call him the demoniac. He was overtaken by the wicked. He had many legions of wicked demons in him. And Jesus cast them out. He had power to do that because he's God. And you know, one day he had the power to save me, had power to save you because he's God. He has the power to do those things because you are the one that he came to die for and to trust him, to believe upon him. Thank God we see manifested his power every time somebody comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. All those things that we talked about a moment ago, he had the power to do that. And he says, all power is given to me. Go ye therefore. If he's got the power and he tells us to go, guess what? We have the power to go. We have the power to do as the Lord would have us to do. He gives to us eternal life. We're hell deserving sinners, but yet he says, free and free indeed. He says, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And thank God tonight, we have the presence of the Lord. I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. I'll never give up on you. He's not going to turn you aside. He's not going to cast you away. He's faithful and just. And every person that's ever come to the Lord, faith believing, you know what? They have that power given to them to become a child of God. We do not have the power to do it in ourselves, but he gives us the power. He gives us the grace. He gives us the faith to believe that I trust him because he died for me. It's very important for the child of God to have the presence of the Lord. Not only just because we're saved, but that express presence that God can use us in his work and gives us the power to go into all the world preaching the gospel. This whole world tonight is it's a big, massive land. And it is inhabited by over 7 billion souls. How can we reach those? How can we do all that God tells us to do? He said, I've got the power, and I give you the power. We falter, we fail. But thank God the power is still there. There is no substitute for the power of the Holy Ghost. You can work it up. You can figure it out. You can write a book about how to do it. But the best way how to do it is just follow the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in His church, He is our defender. In His church, He is the one that we are devoted unto. And we certainly have our destiny in Him. For one day, as we mentioned this morning, He is coming again. Praise the Lord tonight. Until He comes, we still have His presence. He has come to us. He came to me where I was. He came to you where you were. And one of these days, soon and very soon, it's not that He's going to be in my presence. I'm going to be in His presence. I'm going to be with the Lord. And thank God our heart can be moved. Our heart can be taken and molded by the Lord, that we would be witnesses unto Him everywhere we go. Because He is our leader. He is our presence. And in Him, we have our goings. So tonight, when you read that verse there in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, how true that is. When you read the Great Commission, especially in Matthew, lo, I'm with you. Lo, I'm with you wherever you are until the end of your age, the end of your world, the end of your time. The Lord's going to be with, as a Christian, He's going to be with us until we leave here by rapture or we leave here by death. And we're guaranteed one of the two. We're going to leave here. So appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We're going to leave here. And what a wonderful thought it is to know I have an instructor. I have one that will guide me. I have one that will comfort me. I have one that will give me joy so I can give back and worship Him. Praise the Lord tonight. His presence. What a wonderful thing it is for the child of God. Let's stand together tonight, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity to just once again open the Word of God, very simple verses, and to realize how important it is to know Christ as our personal Savior. Let's be dismissed in prayer, and Brother Bradley, if you would do that for us, please.
Lord, we do thank you for this day.